Today on Real Radio.
And when that time of pressure comes, we listen, when we can't see the reason for what we're going through, fear begins to creep in. Our faith will need an infusion of power in that moment.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. There's a paragraph in the first chapter where Paul reveals that he and some fellow believers had experienced some earlier afflictions that were nearly unbearable. But then he goes on to say that all those troubles only caused them to rely on God alone to be delivered from them. It's one of the many scriptural lessons on how our Lord uses afflictions to bring about glory for Him and growth for us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called God's Plan in Our Troubles.
That's part of God's great work that's going on in our lives. It sounds painful. It is painful when we come to that moment when we say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't go on one moment anymore. And your heart is broken. That dark weight. Listen to this. This is the way I wrote it down. And when I wrote this down, I prayed, oh God, let me always remember what I just wrote down. So you want to write it down? Being ready against that dark weight of perceived abandonment. You're not abandoned, but it feels like you're abandoned. You ever feel like that? Many of God's servants have felt like that. Remember Elijah cried out, I'm the only one left. And God says, now Elijah, calm down. Your emotions are getting the best of you. I've got 7,000 other prophets that I've held in storage for my work. You're not the only one. Paul, as we'll see, despaired of life. Peter was alone when he denied Christ. So he felt. So he perceived. And what about Jonah? Now you read Jonah's life, and I love that book of Jonah, by the way. And you say, well, Jonah had it coming to him. I mean, he was a stinker. You know what? Jonah did exactly what you and I would have done. If you understand the Assyrians and what they were doing to the Jewish people at that time, you and I would have done exactly what Jonah did. Exactly. And in Jonah chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, Jonah says, you hurled me into the deep, in the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. And I don't have this next verse, but if you threw it in there, he said, I think he goes on to say, even seaweed is wrapped around my face, like a final insult. And to pour salt on the wound, you wrapped my face in seaweed. You've cast me into the depths of the sea. The waves are breaking over me. I have been banished from your sight. Church, you've read the book of Jonah. Was Jonah banished from the sight of God? In fact, we've got the book. We can read it. More. It's all about him being in the water and being obedient to God eventually. But God was watching. A perceived sense of abandonment. God is not with me. God is not there. He doesn't care. I'm lost. Man, I've got seaweed wrapped around my face. I wish it were wrapped around my neck so that I were dead. Perhaps that's how you're feeling. Jonah felt like that. And maybe you feel like that. Your abandonment is only in your mind and in your emotions. I know it's a strong feeling. We've all been there. But the truth is, in the midst of difficulty and hardship, do not be ignorant of this. God is with you in your trouble. The third thing is this, we need to be in the know, verse 8, knowing that our strength isn't enough. This is hard for men. I'm going to insert the word burdened again, just to drive home the point. Burdened above strength. What a profound statement this is. Paul is saying, watch this everybody, you're going to want to know this. Based upon my strength as a man, my human resources as a man, Paul is saying, and to the point of which I've experienced God's deliverance, in other words, everything I know and everything I want or I perceive ain't enough. We don't get what he's saying here. To be crushed, so burdened, so weighted down, and all of this for the ministry of God? This is what God's servants get? Now, you know the answer to that if you were here last week. When we know the answer to this, we actually embrace these things because what is on the other end is so glorious that what is suffered now is nothing in comparison. But we need to be in the know that our strength isn't enough. We can't do this on our own. Listen to this, everybody. Paul is saying, I have come to that point of self-deficiency. Not self-reliance. Not self-dependence. Self-deficiency. I can't do it. I've come to the end of myself. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Your heart is in a place where there's no recovery. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. That enemy may be an army pursuing you, maybe some lunatic pursuing you, but it could be the enemy in your heart and in your mind, fear and doubt coming against you, emotions running amok. The fourth thing under this point is this. We need to be in the know, church, in verse 8, knowing that fear kills every time. Fear. Look at it. It kills us every time. Fear. The Bible tells us perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think, watch, everybody, you with me? You guys are quiet. You with me? Don't you think the opposite of love would be hate? Not according to God. Isn't that weird? According to God, the opposite of love is fear. Go chew on that for a while, man. That's worthy of meditation. The opposite of knowing God's love is the burden of fear. You know, fear manifests itself in all kinds of ways. My goodness, I don't have the time to list them. Certainly anxiety, stress, timidity, worry. Phobias, fear. We need to be in the know because fear should no longer govern the Christian's life. One of the things that just pops into my head, and maybe I'll regret it later, but I have such incredible respect for people when we go out into the bay there in Newport to baptize people, and every time, sometimes a couple times on a baptism Sunday, someone will come up to me and they're shaking and they have a half smile on their face and they're saying, Pastor Jack, you have no idea what it takes for me to be standing here right now. I want to be baptized so bad. I want to follow Jesus so bad, but I can't swim. I have a fear of water. I can only take a bath in 3 inches of water. I almost drowned as a child and I'm terrified. I'm gonna let you hold me under. I've never been underwater since the day that I almost drowned. You guys, this is huge. My heart, that makes my day. Because, you know, they're not trusting me. You understand that? They've had too much trauma to trust me. They can only go to God. And maybe life is like that with you. You feel like you're underwater or you're going down. And you're trusting the Lord. Fear kills. He says that they were burdened so that we despaired even of life. This is the apostle bearing his heart saying, we thought we were going to die, and that's no joke. The word despaired, listen to this. The word means to be at the point of being utterly lost, to go to the depths of despondency, to be in full and total despair. I don't know if I've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Paul is saying, we resigned our hope of ever making it through alive. Wow. He preached the gospel at the risk of death. He was a Christian knowing it could cost him his life. And there are Christians today and people becoming Christians today in areas of the world that they are adopting a death sentence. And the church today is under persecution globally like no other time that we know of in human history. And people are willingly accepting Christ, knowing that it could kill them. God help us, God prevent us from being fair weather Christians. Oh, God in heaven, none of us have been tested at this point, as far as I know. But oh, God in heaven, strengthen our faith so that if our day should come that we would be tortured for Christ or we'd be called upon to deny him to save our own lives, that we would stand firm and stand strong. I've read books that says God's grace is there in a profound way and he will not leave you, and I believe that. I'm afraid of me. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of somebody. I'm afraid of me. That's who I'm. I am well able to get myself in enough trouble. Satan doesn't need to trip me up. I'm stupid enough to get into trouble on my own. It's me I'm concerned about. Because as a human, I'm prone to fear. And when that time of pressure comes, when we can't see the reason for what we're going through, fear begins to creep in. Our faith will need an infusion of power in that moment. And that comes, by hearing the word of God. You're doing it right now. By literally spending time alone with the Lord, you need to discipline your life to do that. Turn off everything. Take a walk. Get up earlier. Sit out in the backyard or on the roof. Climb a tree. And get alone with God. I mean it. And then thirdly, by placing your situation in the hands of God, if need be, every minute of the day. You know what we do? Here's what we do. God, this is killing me. I'm giving it to you. Cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. That's what the verse says. 1 Peter 5:7, God, I'm doing it. There you go. I've given it to you, Lord. And then we go out of there and we grab it, take it back. And then it burns us. And then we say it again. God, I'm giving it back. I'm giving it back to you, Lord. I'm casting again all my cares upon you because you care for me. And then we walk away. And then we wind up picking up again. What are we doing? We're to cast it and keep it at his feet. When we pick it up, let's be honest, nothing good happens when we begin to nurture some worry. Oh, yeah, we're scared, aren't we? We're so scared. It's crippling our lives. Yes, it is. What are we going to do? Just sit inside. Well, what if the house catches fire? Oh, no! It never ends. In the Word, alone with God, continually placing the situation back into his hands. God has promised to deliver you and I. He's promised. Someone might say, but Pastor Jack, is this a literal promise? And is it a literal deliverance? Yes. Listen, did you hear what I said? Yes, it's a literal promise and it's a literal deliverance. You say, well, I know a Christian friend who has been suffering for years. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? See, we have a hard time seeing past this. Well, I have a Christian friend who wound up getting sick and he died. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? See, this gets in the way. If I can't get an answer right now, then it's not in my world. And God says, I'm doing something here. Jack, I will take you through your season of suffering if it's 25 years, if I so choose, to do my plan, to do my will. Or, you may go through 25 years of suffering and die from it in the end. Are you sure it's not a hypothetical deliverance? Dear friend, Christian, what is he delivering you from? And to where or to whom is he delivering you to? He delivers you from the perils of this life in his timing. That's the problem, see? And the ultimate healing, is it not waking up in his presence? We got to think past this. It's amazing. Fear will kill us every time. Point number two, it's this, verses 9 through 10. God's plan in our troubles, he wants to make us courageous. Courageous, a word we don't hear much anymore, courageous. He wants us as Christians to be courageous. Christians, listen everybody, today in our world, in our nation, in our state, in our community, in this church, it's time for Christians not to be ignorant, but knowing, and to be courageous. We so often are paralyzed because we don't know something, but if we know that God is in absolute control, what should be the result? Courage. Okay, now this is what I've learned. I've been told by those who know, and I've read, that some people seem to be born with courage. Okay, I've read good arguments about that. Maybe they're fearless. Could be. It is possible they don't understand the situation. Amen. Just the other night, Chino Hills, it's been hot, and we're all standing out in my daughter's cul-de-sac where she lives, and we're all talking and stuff, and one of the neighbor kids, we're all standing together like this. Oh, yeah, you know what? Something. And this neighbor kid goes, "Hey, look, a snake!" And there was a snake at his feet. And we all jump back, because there's rattlesnakes everywhere, you know? So we all jump back, and it's a little baby, whatever it was. I don't talk to snakes. I read my Bible. I don't deal with snakes. And my granddaughter, she hears the word snake, and she bolts. Oh, not away from it. She's going for it. And get it back. Now, that is being ignorant of the situation, not knowing. Now, she does not have the ability to know. She's too young. That's not courage. I believe courage is developed and is made in battles. And I have that on a good report. Numerous times I've had General Boykin give me a call or text me. And over the years that I've known him, he has always picked me up. He's always just said, "Hey, listen, I got to tell you something. This is what happens. You need to be courageous, and this is how it comes." And so I want you to hear that. And you can read about his life later. He's a legend. Courage. Verse 9 teaches me that he wants to make us courageous because, listen, we need to be courageous in the face of intimidation. You guys, intimidation or timidity is killing us. He says, yes, we had, mark it, the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Intimidation, church, listen, family, listen, this is awesome. We can be courageous because God wants us to be. And we don't have to be intimidated by anything in this life anymore. Ever. Paul says, I'm telling you now, we had the sentence of death. It was declared. And some scholars, listen, it doesn't matter. We win either way. Some scholars say, this is Paul making reference to him being condemned by various courts throughout the Roman Empire, condemned to death. It could mean that, certainly. But listen, if you're preaching the gospel and you've been stoned, beaten up, and whipped, couldn't it mean that too? What about this? What about Paul also understanding that if Satan had his opportunity, he'd rip his limbs off, that Satan would tear Paul's head off? Because we wrestle against difficult things, right, in this life? I think it's very important. 2 Corinthians, we'll get to it eventually. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare, Christian, are not carnal of this world, fleshy." That means they're not nuclear, they're not neutron bombs, they're not swords, they're not tanks, they're not F-22s. "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." You can set off a nuclear bomb and it doesn't affect the spiritual kingdom at all. Isn't that a weird thought? "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Church, listen, God redevelops us when we come to know Him. God reconstructs us as Christians, and He battle hardens us. I'm going to give you a little montage of verses. Write them down. You're going to need them in life. I love them. You've had them before, but we need them again. Joshua chapter 1. They're all in chapter 1. It's great stuff. Man, this is great. Joshua 1. Now, Joshua was a general. He was a warrior. You think, well, what does he need help for? He was the general of the Israeli army. And he takes Moses' place. Who would want that spot? Honestly, would you have taken that God says to you, I'm going to promote you. Oh, yeah, what am I going to do? You're going to replace Moses. I don't want that job. Can you imagine inheriting 3 million whining, crying, grumbling people? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man, God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Christian, take those verses and make them your own. We are not to tremble anymore. Oh, the nation's falling apart. I understand that. I know that. My big concern is, God, will you hear our prayer, or is this the judgment of God? But will we not join with Abraham and say, regardless, shall not the God of all the earth do right? We will not be timid. Intimidation's a sin. And Paul says something profound, church. Never forget it. The reason why we gave up even on living, God used it to bring us to this point. Look, that we should not trust in ourselves. After studying this, I've come to this conclusion. I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm not being funny or trying to be cute. I don't get it. I've read it. I studied it. I've not been to this point of my life yet. It's coming, I'm sure. He is saying, I've reached a point, Paul the Apostle, in my life where in all of the things I went through, I had to go through them to come to this conclusion. I ain't got no strength. I can't save myself. I can't do ministry. I can't preach. I can't live the Christian life one more step without trusting in God. I'm convicted. You should be convicted on how much you and I lean upon our human resources. And Paul says, I'm done with it. Life's hardships are teaching us not to trust in ourselves. What are you going through? It's to teach you and I to not trust in ourselves. Difficulty causes us to see God's faithfulness and power in times of trauma. And when all else fails, my friends, listen, dear friends, listen, all else will fail. There's the Lord. In Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is where we're going. This is our inheritance.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called God's Plan in Our Troubles, taken from a paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's a valuable lesson in how our Lord uses difficult circumstances in the lives of believers for His glory and our growth. God's Plan in Our Troubles. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, for the month of August, Pastor Jack has selected an informative book that takes a look at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that if you are a believer, you will still face judgment, a different kind, but judgment nonetheless. And that's precisely what this book deals with. It's called Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer. Your Eternal Reward examines what Scripture says about our eternal reward as believers. We may not lose our entrance to heaven, but what we do in our earthly life will determine our standing in the eternal kingdom. Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.